For many, emotional tensions run high after the recent election results. There are those who fear for their rights, their lives, and their families. But also, there are those who do not understand these reactions. KCSB's Bowen Shuh spoke with therapist Laura Rhodes Levin about navigating these emotions surrounding the recent presidential election.
I'm Laura Rhodes Levin, licensed marriage and family therapist.
After the election results, there were many people who were overcome with fear, anger, and many other negative emotions. How do you suggest people confront these emotions and manage them in non-destructive ways?
Well, I'm so glad you said all of those things, because really underneath anger is fear. So let's start with anger, if we could. Anger is an emotion that hijacks us from our amygdala, which is the emotion center of our brain. And actually, Harvard did a really great study about how anger triggers the amygdala. And when we're in that angry place, it's really hard for us to think clearly. We can't access the frontal cortex, which may sound like scientific mumbo jumbo, but a lot of us know when we get angry, we count to 10, we go for a walk, et cetera, et cetera. Neurofeedback's amazing for stabilizing and correcting emotional dysregulation. But when we're angry, we can't see things clearly. So right now, you're seeing a lot of people, you know, disavowing friends on Facebook or having heated conversations in restaurants, and it all is around the political stage.
So what are the signs that people should be looking for in people who may be depressed or anxious but are not actively displaying it?
What I mentioned earlier, saying that, you know, always under anger is fear. Fear leads us to fight or flight states. So people who are really combative, people who tend to be more withdrawn, sad, emotional, those are, you know, feelings of having lost hope, maybe overeating, undereating, oversleeping, undersleeping.
How do you recommend that people spot these characteristics in others, and how they should go about interacting with those people in order to help them?
You know, compassion, I think, is always a really great way to approach people. I think what this election has brought about are a lot of fears, as I was saying earlier. In fact, there was a school that did a really neat study around Republicans and Democrats. And what they discovered is by showing them a series of images like war images or financial images, what they found was that people who tended to be Republican tended to be a little bit more guarded and scared, where they want a big military. They want to be able to keep their money close and have smaller taxes. They want secure borders. Whereas on the other side, the Democrats tended to respond more to images of progression. You know, I'll pay more taxes, but I'd rather see more for other people. And what happens is they get scared when they see a strong military, and when they see potential segregation or, you know, highly conservative Supreme Court. So what we're really dealing with here is everybody's scared. You know, when you're dealing with people who are afraid, it's important to have compassion. And that means to have compassion for ourselves now, too, for whatever fears are coming up for us around the election.
There are lots of differences between both parties. Many of the people agreed with the election results, and there are also those who did not agree with them. And because of this, there are a lot of tensions between the two groups, and there are a lot of negative feelings towards each other. What do you suggest that people do in order to minimize these conflicts and increase understanding for each other?
Well, you said something so important there, Bowen. You said increase understanding for each other. And, you know, everyone believes their side is correct. There's no one out there looking to be a bad guy. And there's a lot of judgment going on right now. So I think, as I was saying about compassion earlier, the flip side of judgment is compassion. So it is about having compassion, understanding that people are scared, and that it's okay to disagree. That's okay, but it's also okay to be proactive about what you believe in so that you don't feel trapped or hopeless or powerless, because those feelings create depression in our own brains. But when you get out there and you not necessarily fight for what you believe in, but go after what you believe in a peaceful, loving manner, then you start to feel good about yourself again. And you make room for other people to feel good.
So like you said, these people do have like those fears, those angers within themselves. So how do you suggest that those people handle these negative emotions in a way that they won't put it out in a way that is harmful to others or themselves?
Mm-hmm. And anger is such a paralyzing emotion. And a lot of times what we don't realize is when we're angry at something or someone, we're really usually only hurting ourselves. So to release the anger is to say, you know, if you look at the word forgiveness, the actual root of it is to give back, to forgive. And it's about saying, I don't want to carry this anymore. So I would like to give it back. I don't want to own the pain of it. So when we hold on to that anger, it's paralyzing. But by letting go, and like I said, doing things that help you feel active, follow your passion, contribute, volunteer, go out and help whatever cause you're supporting in a peaceful and productive manner. This gives you a sense of well-being, and then your anger starts to go away. And then you're also making a difference. You know, the truth is the pendulum swings all, you know, one way and then back another. Everyone kind of gets their turn. And right now, the pendulum has swung the other way for a little while. And releasing that anger for yourself is important.
That's KCSB's Bowen Shaw speaking with therapist Laura Rhodes Levin about navigating fear and other uneasy emotions in the wake of the recent presidential election.